The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana. The news presented by Abraham Donko
and Jonathan Thompson.
In the headlines, NAT blames WAEC for latest leakages of examination papers. Minority leader says NPP will continue to mount pressure on EC for a validated voters register for November elections. Former chairman of Public Accounts Committee calls for punitive sanctions against public officials as absence of accountability breeds corruption. Ministry of Foreign Affairs denies online report in Nigeria that ECOWAS citizens will apply for visa on arrival in Ghana from July. And Sudan's President Omar al-Bashir to step down after his mandate ends in 2020. But first, the summary with Jonathan.
The Ghana National Association of Teachers, NAT, has blamed the West African Examinations Council, WAEC, for the leakages of this year's WASI papers. The General Secretary of NAT, David Ofori, spoke on Radio Ghana's Behind the News, saying it was wrong for WAEC to release question papers to teachers who are themselves invigilators a day before the examination. The MPP says it will continue to pressurize the EC until it provides a validated voters register for the November elections. Speaking to Radio Ghana, Minority Leader in Parliament, Osechi Mensah-Bonsu, said the position of the Electoral Commission on the preparation of a credible voters register for the elections appears unsatisfactory in view of what it calls the lackadaisical posture by the Commission towards the electoral process. Government has assured ECOWAS citizens that with effect from July this year, they will not have to apply for visa on arrival in Ghana as is being speculated. In a statement, the Ministry of Foreign Affairs and Regional Integration said people misinterpreted a statement by President Mahama in his State of the Nation's address that with effect from July this year, Ghana would allow citizens of member states of the AU to enter into Ghana and obtain visas on arrival with the option to stay for up to 30 days in the country. And Sudan's President Omar al-Bashir says he will step down in 2020 after his current mandate ends. The Sudan president has been in power since 1989. However, skeptics say he has already pledged to step down in the past and later went back on his word.
TBC is mastering the airwaves with nothing but quality news and programming.
The news now in detail. The General Secretary of the Ghana National Association of Teachers, David Ofori Champong, says WAEC should be blamed for the latest leakage of the WASI papers. Speaking Behind the News, Mr. Champon said the council has over the years failed to adhere to the rules and regulations regarding the conduct of examination. He said it is not right for WAEC to release the question papers to teachers who are themselves invigilators a day before the examination.
WAEC, of course.
Why should we put the blame on them?
There are processes for the conduct of an exam. First, you have the preparatory process. And that is undertaken by WAEC. They have their own security print shop where the questions are printed. Their staff conduct the printing of the examination paper. When it's finished, their staff pack the exams into their van and drive them to their regional depot, passed by staff of WAEC. Our teachers who conduct the exams have access to the document 15 minutes before each paper is written. If that is the case, and we have reports that papers are available 24 hours, 48 hours before the exams are written, whom do you blame?
Well, for this instance, Agnes Tay, could you explain that it's not really leakage? The paper came out some few hours to the exams, for instance.
Do you believe that? They have the other media reports that people have access to those documents 24 hours before the exams were written.
So this latest thing at the second cycle?
The length and breadth.
For Nigeria, Liberia, Gambia, and Sierra Leone. In Ghana, we have a security print shop for WAEC Ghana. Now, because it's an international examination, the questions are the same in the five countries. So WAEC should come and tell us whether in Sierra Leone, they have their own security print shop. In Nigeria, you have the same thing. and then tell us that they have enough security precautions to prevent leakages. Then we would understand them. Because in this era of technological advancement, if there are leakages in Nigeria, within 2 minutes, it can get to Ghana through social media. But if they are not telling us, and they are rather saying that it is teachers and the rest who should be blamed for all that is happening, then I cannot side with them.
But if you put the blame entirely on WAEC, what about the parents and students who fight tooth and nail to get full knowledge of the questions instead of learning? Aren't they contributing to the perpetration of this perennial problem?
If WAEC is serious about the integrity of the examination, they will get competent people, honest people who will not turn out the papers for parents to get assessed by the questions.
That was the General Secretary of NAT, David Ufori-Champo, talking to Agatha Samoa on Behind the News.
But Chairman of the Parliamentary Committee on Education, Matthias Poza, says he does not agree with those calling for the dissolution of the WAEC board. He said what is needed is total overhauling of the conduct of examination in the country. He spoke to Agatha Asamoah.
You know, last year when there was this big scandal over the GC exams, we met with the ministry and WAEC and tried to tease out some of the possibilities, some of the causes of that incident. Little did we know that it was going to fall, so barely 6 months later. So what we will do and we can do is to go back to the drawing table with them and then try to strategize again.
Should we dissolve WAEC or call for heads to rule, as Nagrat is suggesting?
I've already heard a few people mention that on public radio stations, and I don't think we need to dissolve a national asset in this hasty manner. I would suggest that, yes, some heads may have to rule, but then we should do it in a manner that, at the end of the day, the intervention should be beneficial to the nation as a whole.
Chairman of the Parliamentary Committee on Education, Matthias Poza.
Meanwhile, the West African Examinations Council says it is tracking down persons alleged to be behind the leakage of some of the WASI papers. According to the council, such persons will be made to face the full weight of the law. A statement signed by the Deputy Director of Public Affairs of WAEC, Agnes Tekujo, the council detected some questions were in circulation but found that those questions were fake. It however discovered that some authentic questions went into circulation after the papers were released to the examination centers. The statement said the council suspects that the leakage was perpetrated through the connivance of some persons engaged for the conduct of the examination and their agents. The council is therefore cautioning candidates to stay away from such material, as it has the mechanism to detect those who benefit from such malpractices and will not hesitate to apply the required sanctions. The statement said, based on reports WAEC has received from the field, the papers already written will not be cancelled. The remaining papers will be taken as scheduled.
The Deputy Minister of Education in charge of pre-tertiary, Alex Tremi, has observed with concern the significant number of pregnant final year senior high school students writing the ongoing WASI in the Ashanti region. The Deputy Minister has, however, warned examination officials and school authorities against discriminating against them. Instead, the girls should be allowed to write the papers to the best of their abilities. Mr. Chairman was addressing a section of the media after touring some of the WASI centers in the Ashanti region.
Now away from the WASI, the minority leader in parliament and MP for Siame, Osaichi Nsabunso, says the NPP will continue to put pressure on the Electoral Commission to come out with a validated voters register for this year's general election. According to him, the position of the Electoral Commission on the preparation of a credible voters register for elections, which are just 6 months away, appears unsatisfactory in view of what it calls the lackadaisical posture by the Commission towards the electoral process. Mr. Nsabunso was speaking to Radio Ghana when members, supporters and sympathizers of the NPP joined the Movement for Change, AFAG, and Let My Vote Count in a demonstration in Kumasi. The demonstration dubbed Bamu Yada and Hausa phrase meaning we shall not agree, was to compel the Electoral Commission to do something about the reported bloated register, which the NPP says has over 600,000 names believed to be that of foreigners and minors. The demonstrators who were in either black or red clothing and that took a peaceful demonstration through the some principal streets of Kumasi, they converged on Abbey's Park at Ashtown to round off the event.
A meeting to endorse the renomination of Frifai Yamwaponko by the Edriso Jabing Municipal Assembly as the president's nominee as municipal chief executive could not come on today as a result of controversy surrounding the nominee. The meeting has therefore been rescheduled to the 12th of this month. The controversy degenerated into violence, leading to the arrest of some of the new appointees who the members claimed have been influenced to vote for the president's nominee. Mr. Yamwaponko was renominated for the second time, having lost the first time. The Ashanti Regional Minister, John Alexander Akon, explaining the reason for the rescheduling of the meeting, said the president had revoked the previous government's appointees and that it was only this morning that the list of the 12 new government appointees was received. He said it is only when the new appointees are sworn in that the assembly will be properly constituted to either endorse or reject the president's nominee as municipal chief executive. Mr. Akon said with the swearing in of the government appointees by the presiding member, the meeting to either endorse or reject the president's nominees as municipal chief executive can now take place on the new scheduled date. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana Accra. Let's look at the major stories. NAT blames WAEC for latest leakages of examination papers. Minority leader says MPP will continue to mount pressure on EC for a validated voters register for November elections. Former chairman of Public Accounts Committee calls for punitive sanctions against public officials as absence of accountability breeds corruption. Ministry of Foreign Affairs denies online report in Nigeria that ECOWAS citizens will apply for visa on arrival in Ghana from July. And Sudan's President Omar al-Bashir to step down after his mandate ends in 2020. Please stay with us.
President John Mahama has declared the period 2017 to 2020 of the second term of his administration as a moment of livelihoods and income generation. He said it's only through developments that economic wealth can be realized. The president was speaking to the chiefs and people of Insain in the Nzima East District of the Western Region. The chief of Insain, Awolayi Ajayi Kwame, expressed gratitude to government for the numerous development projects in the Insain Township and the region as a whole. Pascalina Dadavu's report.
Since 1966, when Ghana's first president, Dr. Kwame Nkrumah, visited Insein to inaugurate the Insein Senior High School, no sitting president has been there. The jubilation and fanfare to welcome President Mahama was exceptional. The town has benefited from a number of social interventions from government. The Omani of Insein, Awolayi Ajayi Kwame, expressed his heartfelt gratitude to government. The main issue that had to do with your roles is being taken care of. Awolayi appealed to some feeder roles in the township to be looked at. Your Maini marks his golden jubilee on the stool next year, and all he wishes for is that a 1.5 kilometer road from the main road to his palace be tarred.
I don't exaggerate. Namehu Anamika, Samia President about Traditional Council, very mind him for the Majomwa. Your war in science traditional council. Yet that, what by you ask you? Yes. I'm telling you. Quite now, I'm saying, go by the fire, you know, she a house or chief, you know. Who my yet, yes, I hope it's a fire, you know. The judicial, you know, your castle, now I'm saying, the tray I've now gone to the bar, a little bit, you know. That is the
Yeah,
President Mahama said, I would like Kwame should consider the request granted.
49 years on the school, I said, next year, maybe the golden jubilee on the school.
Declaring his year of livelihoods and income generation, President Mahama said his vision is to leave a lasting legacy for the generations unborn. He said every region of the country will have a fair share of the national cake.
Police station, police quarters, 12 units. You have a chassis in me. 12 units, police quarters. Then there are police for Kibinya, Medin, Asana, now Omutimiabo, Mohubai, Nina, Ekaho, Axim Junction to Axim Town, and near 10 kilometers as far as Ovali, and also Yegudo. The chassis with your friend of social and economic infrastructure. If you're there, so we'll share.
President Mahama, as part of his four-day working visit to the Western Region, inspected road works at Inase where contractors were busily asphalting the roads. He later interacted with fisher folks at the Lower Axim Beach.
Pascalina Dadevo sent that report from the Western Region.
Meanwhile, President John Mahama has inaugurated and handed over another cold store to the people of Hafasini. Yesterday, the president inaugurated a similar one at Shama in the Western Region. President Mahama said government will continue to provide more cold storage facilities as strategic places in fishing communities to support the industry.
A former chairman of the Public Accounts Committee of Parliament, Albert Kandapa, says the absence of accountability breeds corruption and needs to be tackled with all seriousness. He bemoaned the state of corruption in public institutions, saying there must be punitive sanctions for public officials who indulge in corruption to serve as a deterrent to others. Mr. Kandapa was speaking on the 37th Annual Management Day of the University of Ghana Business School in Accra. A report by Peggy Amufasoa.
The focus of this year's Management Day is accountability and corruption in public sectors. There will be recommendations for promoting accountability and transparency in public institutions. Mr. Kandapa's presentation looked at financial accountability and political governance in Ghana. The former Public Accounts Committee chairman attributed the rise in corruption cases to lack of political will to prosecute all forms of malfeasance in the public sector. He advocated a review of powers of the armed of governments and the mandates of appointment of heads of public institutions.
The fact that public officers and politicians who have been entrusted with public funds should steal from the state press should not be a surprise to any human being. The surprise should rather be that we do not have the right dose of checks and balances in our administrative systems, which would make it impossible for public servants, including politicians, to steal from the public purse.
The majority leader in Parliament, Alban Bagbin, speaking on political party financing, said the absence of clear outs on political financing have dire consequences in transparency and accountability in governance. He said they are good examples of state political financing which Ghana must take cue from.
Public finance of political parties is very popular in Asian democracies. We're looking at a total of 8 countries such as Indonesia, Japan, Maldives, Mongolia, South Korea, Taiwan, Thailand, and Timor. They all provide regular subsidies, cover election and non-election activities.
The Vice Chancellor of University of Ghana, Professor Ernest Aiti, said the Management Day celebration is a clear indication that the University of Ghana Business School is ready to partner government to adopt pragmatic policies to fight corruption for proper accountability and development in the country.
Peggy Amofasua reporting.
The paramount queen mother of Ada, Nana Kubokwo Dumale, has called for transparency and accountability in the acquisition of land on a large scale for investment purposes. She stressed the need to respect the critical role of traditional authorities in land acquisition because they control a large portion of land in the country. This makes them the first point of call in land acquisition. She said this at the launch of the Responsible Investment in Property and Land Project in Accra, a report by Nathaniel Nate.
The Responsible Investment in Property and Land Project is being implemented by the Community Land Development Foundation and Landesa with funding from the British Department for International Development, DFID. The project is in response to the increase in commercial agriculture and other land-based investment with focus on smallholder land users. Its core objective is to develop practical guidelines that comply with the internationally recognized standards to ensure communities and smallholder landowners benefit from large-scale investment. The paramount queen mother of Ada, Nana Kabukwo Dumale, spoke of land ownership in the country.
Government owns 20% of our land, including the water body. Traditional leaders own lands. We have 2 lands. We have family lands and clan lands. In my area, lands are owned by clans. So when an investor wants a land, the investor goes straight to the clan, the head of the clan, and deals directly with them. The chiefs and the custodians of the land, those who give out the land, they seriously have to involve the family when there is an investor, so even there is any compensation.
You just heard the paramount queen mother of Ada, Nana Kabukwo Dumale, in that report by Nathaniel Nati. The TUC is calling for the arrest and prosecution of the managing director of Gateway Logistics Limited in Takrady, Manlio Majuroti. Mr. Majuroti is reported to have chained a Ghanaian employee of the company, Ibrahim Sanu, to a container of loitering about during working hours. In a statement, Secretary General Kofi Asamoah described the act as shameful and dehumanizing. He noted that the restriction of the movement of Sanu is not only a breach of his fundamental right to movement, but goes to the core of his basic right to humane and dignified treatment as guaranteed by the Constitution. The statement noted that managers of the said company have created a white supremacist working environment that encourages the intimidation and abuse of workers, which has ultimately resulted in the latest maltreatment of Sanu. The TUC is therefore demanding a formal and public apology from the company to the victim, the working people of Ghana and Ghanaians as a whole.
Amnesty International Ghana is adopting a new strategy for the death penalty to be abolished. The country director, Lawrence Amesu, said the organization will work closely with a group of parliamentarians why against the death penalty law. Mr. Amesu said there are indications that many people in Ghana want the death penalty revoked but this will be difficult to achieve if the law exists. Mr. Mesu was speaking in Accra at the launch of the 2015 death penalty report.
Amnesty International's 2015 report on death penalties in sub-Saharan Africa showed an encouraging increase in the number of countries that have abolished the law. Last year, Madagascar and Congo Republic, according to the report, were the latest countries to do so, bringing the number to 18. However, the country director of Amnesty International, Lawrence Amesu, cautioned that African countries still have much to do to abolish the death penalty law. So far, Ghana has 137 persons on death row, even though there has not been any execution since 1993. Mr. Amesu welcomed Ghana's temporary stay of the execution of persons on death row, but warned that it could be reversed at any point in time, citing Chad and the Gambia as typical examples.
During the year, Madagascar and Congo abolished the death penalty, increasing the number of abolitionist countries in the region to 18 countries. Despite this progress, the resumption of execution by Chad after 12 years of not carrying out execution was a setback in the region. And this is one of the reasons why we always say that it is important for Ghana to totally abolish the death penalty, because we pride ourselves in the fact that since 1993 we have not executed, even though we have it in our constitution and in our law book. And people will always want to say, well, we are not doing it anyway. What is the need for us to be pushing for it to be abolished?
You heard the country director of Amnesty International Ghana, Lawrence Amesu, in that report by Jonathan Thompson.
The government says with effect from July this year, ECOWAS citizens will not have to apply for a visa on arrival in Ghana. This is contained in a statement from the Ministry of Foreign Affairs and Regional Integration. It comes in reaction to reports on some websites that Nigerian citizens traveling to Ghana will have to apply for visas on arrival in the country. The statement said all ECOWAS citizens, including those from the Federal Republic of Nigeria, will continue to be allowed entry into Ghana as per the provisions of the ECOWAS Protocol AP1579 relating to free movement of persons, residence and establishment. It says people misconstrued President John Mahama's statement on ECOWAS movement in his State of the Nation address presented to Parliament on the 25th of February this year. The president said with effect from July this year, Ghana would allow citizens of member states of the African Union to enter into Ghana and obtain visas on arrival with the option to stay for up to 30 days in the country. It says earlier in his address, the president noted that it was possible to travel within ECOWAS member states without obtaining visas, but this was not generally the case within the continent. He further stated that the objective of this policy initiative was to open up Ghana to the rest of the continent and to stimulate increased air travel, trade, investment and tourism between Ghana and the rest of the continent. The statement emphasized that the policy stated by the president does not apply to all citizens of AU member states. It therefore assured citizens of ECOWAS member states, including Nigerians, that their entry into the country will not be affected by the new policy initiative about to be introduced later this year.
Sudan's President Omar al-Bashir says he will step down in 2020 after his current mandate ends. He also denied allegations of abuses perpetrated by the Sudanese forces and renewed violence against black African villages who took up arms in the country's western Darfur region. He has been indicted by the International Criminal Court on grounds of genocide and war crimes.
Here's the main points again. The Ghana National Association of Teachers, NAT, has blamed the West African Examination Council for the leakages of this year's WASI papers. General Secretary of NAT, David Ofori, told Radio Ghana that it was wrong for WAEC to release question papers to teachers who are themselves invigilators a day before the examination. And government has assured ECOWAS citizens that they will not have to apply for visa on arrival in Ghana, as is being speculated. The news was presented by Jonathan Thompson
and Abraham Donko in Accra.
Thank you.